The former DUP leader Geoffrey Donaldson has been found guilty of raping a woman while she was a primary school child. Mr. Donaldson was also convicted on 4 counts of gross indecency with or towards a child and 13 counts of indecent assault on a female in relation to crimes that were committed between 1985 and 2008. His wife Eleanor was facing a trial of the facts, meaning she could not be found guilty, but in 5 charges against her, including 4 relating to aiding and abetting, the jury found she had done the acts. The verdict marks one of the most incredible political downfalls ever seen on this island. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. The arrest of Geoffrey Donaldson shocked people all across Ireland and the UK. It was on the 28th of March 2024. It was Good Friday. And Donaldson was arrested by the PSNI and charged with rape and several other sexual offences. His wife Eleanor was also charged with aiding and abetting in relation to the same matter.
Tonight at 10, Sir Geoffrey Donaldson is charged with rape and other historical sexual offences and resigns as leader of the Democratic Unionist Party. The news causes shockwaves in Belfast and Westminster. Sir Geoffrey says he will strenuously contest the charges.
Political downfalls don't come faster than this. Sir Geoffrey Donaldson's grip on power never seemed stronger. Now his days as DUP leader are over, his political career in ruins.
He was to resign as the leader of the DUP the following day, and soon the Orange Order and the DUP suspended his memberships pending the outcome of the judicial process. Now that outcome has come for the former First Minister. His political career is over and he faces a lengthy jail term. Well, our reporter Jamie O'Hara and Suzanne Breen, who's the political editor of the Belfast Telegraph, have been following this trial closely at Newry Crown Court. And just a reminder that some listeners may find some of this report distressing and indeed triggering. Good afternoon to you both. You're welcome to News Talk Daily. I'm going to come to you first, Jamie, because you were in court today. The jury had been deliberating since last Thursday afternoon. It was 10 hours in total over a 3-day period. And then they came back in yesterday afternoon with their verdict. Will you bring me through those moments in that courtroom in Newry Crown Court?
Good afternoon, Ciara. So yeah, Geoffrey Donaldson, he stood in the dock while the foreman of the jury responded guilty when each of the charges was read out here in Newry just after 2:15 p.m. And he gave no reaction when the verdicts were read out. That was 18 counts of historical sexual abuse against complainant A and complainant B, guilty of 1 count of rape, guilty of 4 counts of gross indecency and 13 counts of indecent assault. Eleanor Donaldson then found to have committed 5 counts of aiding and abetting her husband, and this was a trial of the facts for her, Ciara, as she cannot be criminally convicted. Now, Judge Paul Ramsay, he ordered victim impact reports. He said Geoffrey Donaldson will likely face a lengthy custodial sentence, and he remanded him in custody and ordered he be placed on the sex offenders register. Now, he set a sentencing date for the 25th of September, and when he was finished, he ordered the prison service staff to take Mr. Donaldson down, and then he was taken out on the door of the court. Now, there'll be a case management day mid-September, but a date set for the 25th of September for sentencing. Then, Ciara, gathered outside the courthouse in Newry, and a prison service van carrying Geoffrey Donaldson. It eventually drove out through the gates and away from the courthouse. Geoffrey Donaldson walked into and out of court every day for the past 4 weeks, but he was taken away in custody following the conviction. Now, as you say, the jury took 10 hours to reach their verdict after being sent out to begin deliberations. It was around 1:23 p.m. on Thursday, and they came back at around 2:15 p.m. Monday. And it's the culmination of a trial that began over 4 weeks ago. Monday marked the start of the 5th week dealing with charges relating to some offences dating back up to 40 years ago, those offences between the years 1985 and 2008.
And it was so interesting because I have watched him arriving in court every day, being dropped off at the front door, chauffeured by someone, to then yesterday being taken away from court in a prison van to HMB Marbury, which is the high security prison in Northern Ireland, following that conviction for such serious, serious offences. It went on for 4 weeks, and there was lots of evidence here, including testimony from complainant A and B and Jeffrey Donaldson himself, tape interviews of police interviews with Eleanor Donaldson. What was the most compelling evidence, do you think? Can you tell us about the prosecution's case and what really stood out for you?
Yeah, so the prosecution, Ciara, they outlined, I suppose, a number of offences. They were alleged offences at the time. They are now offences that Jeffrey Donaldson had raped complainant B and that he had sexually assaulted both complainant A and complainant B. The jury heard evidence from both complainants who alleged touching of their breasts. Complainant A also said that Mr. Donaldson had looked at her genitals and had also kissed her and put his tongue in her mouth. Now, he, of course, denied this. One of the incidents they heard about was Jeffrey Donaldson touching complainant B's breasts, and that Eleanor Donaldson had walked in, saw this and then walked back out again. Both accused denied this. Jeffrey Donaldson, he took the stand, you know, it was over a week ago now at this stage. And during his cross-examination by prosecution barrister Rosemary Walsh, he was asked about a meeting also with complainant B at a Christian centre in the late 1990s. And when it was put to him that he had went to the meeting because he needed to nip the situation in the bud, Mr. Donaldson denied this and said that he was invited to the meeting by David Hoy, who co-runs the Christian centre, and that he had gone willingly. He said he wasn't worried about it, that there was no mention of any allegations when he was invited. But he rejected the suggestion that he had gone into the meeting and said something to the effect of, I know what this is all about and I'm sorry, let's move on, because he did not want complainant B to go through her allegations in the presence of the Hoys. This is what was said in court, that he wanted to go in, he wanted to take charge. It would stop complainant B going through her allegations in public, I suppose. He was accused by the prosecution of taking charge of that meeting to dictate how it would unfold. And it was also suggested to him that he and everyone else there knew the meeting was set up to discuss an allegation was made against him by complainant B. He, of course, denied this, and he said that David Hoy also was mistaken if he had remembered the mention of an allegation. And the cross-examination of Jeffrey Donaldson, it took around 10 hours over 2 days, during which time he strenuously, Ciara, and repeatedly denied all allegations.
Yeah, but ultimately, I suppose the jury didn't think that the version of events that he put forward was credible. I do remember that evidence from the Hoys, because it really seemed to corroborate what the complainants were saying. And the woman in that, Linda Hoy, said she had this really clear memory of Jeffrey Donaldson saying to a teenager whom he met at the girl's request, I know what this is about. I am truly sorry. Please forgive me. And I thought that was really a powerful evidence at the time. Remind us what the judge said about Eleanor Donaldson, Jamie.
So Eleanor Donaldson, Ciara, faced a trial of the facts where she could not be found guilty or not guilty. Rather, she could be found to have committed the alleged acts. The jury found that she did commit the five acts of aiding and abetting her husband. In his summary of the case, the judge said that the phrase trial of the facts was the most Googled term in Northern Ireland last month. He said Mrs. Donaldson's legal representatives had become concerned for her mental health, and she was examined by both the defence and the prosecution, their psychiatrists. And the judge was furnished, he said, with evidence from three psychiatrists. She was then determined unfit to stand trial. And then the judge, in his summary of the case, told the jury the legislation requires a trial of the facts here.
And it was interesting because she wasn't in court, obviously, and she didn't give direct evidence, but the jury did see a number of police interviews that she had given. And she'd said in those interviews that she'd asked her husband over the years repeatedly about what was going on that occasion where she'd walked into the room, that she'd never got a straight answer for him, that she was uncomfortable about it, that she'd been on red alert for years in relation to her husband, and that she'd become an ultra watcher and ultra careful.
On the 29th of March 2024, the Democratic Unionist Party acted decisively against Jeffrey Donaldson, following his charge on 18 separate counts of historic sex abuse. He is not a member of our party. Over 2 years ago, we indicated that we would place our faith in the criminal justice system to reach a verdict on the allegations made against him. A jury has concluded that Geoffrey Donaldson is guilty of the most heinous and despicable crimes. Having reached that guilty verdict, we welcome the fact that justice has been done. Today, our thoughts are first and foremost with those innocent victims whose lives have been impacted and blighted by his predatory and repugnant behaviour. What they have been put through, from the initial abuse through to the impact of having to give evidence and the inevitable traumatisation, has been wicked. The impact on the victims of having to come forward and to be forced by their perpetrators' denials to give evidence in all the circumstances was cruel. We stand with the victims of his abuse and we salute their bravery and courage for speaking out.
Suzanne Breen is political editor at the Belfast Telegraph. Suzanne, thank you for joining us today. I mean, what was your reaction as somebody who has been covering politics and probably covering the political career of somebody as high profile as Geoffrey Donaldson for so long when you saw that guilty verdict?
Well, I've been a journalist for about 35 years. In those 35 years, I have known Geoffrey Donaldson at every stage of his political career, in the Ulster Unionist first, and then he moved to the DUP. He is the most recognisable unionist politician in Northern Ireland, and everybody is delighted for the victims that there was this verdict. But people are stunned. They are still trying to get their head around this, that the person that they saw every night on their TV screens, the person we knew at Westminster, at Stormont, was a paedophile. So this is the biggest political story of my career, certainly, and it defies belief.
When he joined the DUP, he went through the ranks pretty quickly, didn't he? Because he developed this reputation as a great policymaker and a person who was a strong media performer.
Well, Geoffrey didn't actually rise through DUP ranks as quickly as I thought he would. He joined the party with Arlene Foster, but she was liked much more by DUP grassroots. They really took to her. She's a very warm personality. So it was Arlene that became leader first. Geoffrey Donaldson had to choose. There was a rule on double jobbing came in. He had to choose between Stormont and Westminster, and he chose Westminster. He had only ever held a very small position in Stormont. He was a junior minister to Ian Paisley for a very short period. But it was in recent years in which Geoffrey Donaldson grew in prestige within the party. He took over from Edwin Poots. He had been leader for just 3 weeks, a pretty disastrous leadership. And Geoffrey Donaldson was seen as a calm, steady, a solid person to lead the DUP, someone you could rely upon. And the party very much branded itself around him. It used his personal popularity to sell itself. And I think that is something the DUP will never do again. It has learnt from its mistakes, and it will very much have a collective leadership going forward, as opposed to putting one person front and centre.
I remember the story breaking back on Good Friday in 2024, very early in the morning. I think he was arrested at about 6 a.m. and the reporting was saying there was two high-profile people in Northern Ireland arrested, one 61-year-old man arrested in relation to historical sexual offences, and a 57-year-old woman arrested too. And immediately you think, the reason that this is reported means, you know, these are people with profile, we'll probably know them. And then the shock when people realised who they were. It was seismic.
It was. Look, the running joke that Geoffrey Donaldson himself liked was that he was the DUP's Daniel O'Donnell. He was a dead ringer for the Donegal singer, and Geoffrey Donaldson would occasionally burst into one of the songs of what he called his cousin from Kincashla. But Geoffrey Donaldson was absolutely nothing like Daniel O'Donnell. He was a complete and absolute fake. He had this carefully crafted, clean-cut persona, but it was a fraud. And in Newry Crown Court, we heard the monstrous deeds that Geoffrey Donaldson committed against children while all the time being one of Northern Ireland's leading politicians.
I think back to his political career. I think back to the tale of two Good Fridays, the first, that pivotal turning point when he defected from the UP, and the second, that absolutely shocking arrest back in 2024. And I think the weeks prior to that, Suzanne, when he was being feted in Washington and lauded for being the politician that had brought the DUP back into Stormont and had got power sharing up and running again, at the same time, the PSNI would have been carrying out their investigations, knowing that in a matter of weeks or months, they would be arresting that individual.
None of us covering the Donaldson deal and the return of Stormont after 2 years down ever thought that this story would take the twists and turns that it did. I remember seeing Geoffrey Donaldson a few weeks before his arrest. He was in Hillsborough Castle with the then Secretary of State, Chris Heaton-Harris, and he was in the throne room, a very ornate room, and he was there passionately, vigorously defending his deal. He was in the public gallery with his wife, Eleanor, at Stormont when devolution was restored. He was looking down upon the scene and delighted because he had brought devolution back to Northern Ireland. He was in the White House. He was there with the DUP team. He was feted by everyone who met him. And yet, you know, Geoffrey Donaldson today was taken away to prison in a prison van. And he will spend his first night tonight in jail where none of us ever thought over the decades he would end up.
One of the victims testified about the deep cognitive dissonance that they experienced watching their abuser receive all of this public accolades while framing himself as a spiritually guided individual because his religious beliefs seemed to factor into his life and his public image and actually ultimately in his trial in different ways.
Well, Geoffrey Donaldson wore his Christianity on his sleeve, or maybe I should say on his lapel. He had a little fish symbol that signified his religious beliefs. He would regularly refer to his religious beliefs. And all the while, there was absolutely nothing Christian about his lifestyle. Talking to DUP and insiders, you hear stories now about how he drank like a fish, especially when he was away from Northern Ireland on various trips to Africa and elsewhere. But it would have been so, so hard for those two women because Geoffrey Donaldson was lauded. He was loved in the unionist community. And I think he was put on something of a pedestal. People in the DUP that I have spoken to are shocked by some of the things that came out because they say Geoffrey really was like a functioning normal politician, that there was no sign over the years that of any turmoil or torment in his life. Yet we now know from what came out in court that he was running around putting out fires, that he was having meetings, that he was writing letters of apology, all the while continuing in the front line of Northern Ireland politics. There are people in the DUP very angry that he put himself forward for leadership of the party, knowing that all this was in his past, knowing that he was a paedophile. They're just shocked at the effrontery of that. But it is not uncommon. We know with paedophiles that they don't sit in the shadows, that they very much, very often, they do embrace public life and they do want to be in the spotlight.
You talk about sort of how angry they are, and I presume people feel very betrayed here, because the trial laid bare the history of abuse, the sexual harm that he inflicted on those two schoolgirls, as well as a troubled marriage. And all the while he was leading a double life, he was championing these conservative values.
People do feel in the DUP very betrayed. The one common experience right across the party, when I speak to insiders, that comes up is that Geoffrey was always uncomfortable to talk about his personal life. That most DUP members, representatives, felt that they never knew the real Geoffrey. That he was okay if he was talking about work, if the conversation stuck to politics. But once anyone tried to go beyond that, they got very little from Geoffrey Donaldson. If people were talking about how they spent their weekends, maybe they had a meal out with their wife, Geoffrey Donaldson just didn't go there. He didn't want to talk about personal things like that. And one person said to me he couldn't put his finger on what it was, but he never really knew what made Geoffrey Donaldson tick. This individual said he was aghast at what came out in court, and he said some people have skeletons in their cupboard, but good grief, nobody thought it was anything like this.
The people, I suppose, at the centre of this, who we should be talking about, but for obvious reasons we can't, because Complainant A and Complainant B have not waived their anonymity. Their identity is being protected. It is clearly their right to do so. But they have to be commended for their bravery in coming forward and speaking to the police and ultimately taking this to trial, because they would have known from the outset that there was going to be huge, huge media interest in this. This was not going to be an ordinary trial.
The victims have to be absolutely commended. It is hard for victims in any case to come forward, to tell their truth, to be questioned, to be cross-examined. But obviously when it's a high-profile individual, when it's a public figure, it is much, much harder for them. And hopefully this verdict will give anyone else who is in similar circumstances the heart to come forward, to be brave, to tell our story and to get justice.
Suzanne Breen, we will leave it there. Thank you for joining us on News Talk Daily today.
Thank you.
Well, that's it from the podcast for today. You can listen back to every episode of News Talk Daily on the Go Live Player. For now, from me, Ciara Doherty. Bye-bye.